Please allow me to speak of the reason why we have to make repentance. In Buddhism, because I didn't complete the explanation of the reason why we have to practice repentance. So, the last Saturday I mentioned a little bit about the two ways of living. Can't you hear me? Okay. Can't you? First one is ordinary people live their lives on the basis of their karmic life as a cause, and their delusions as conditions. The other ways of living is the bodhisattvas, that bodhisattvas live their life on the basis of their vow as a cause, and the actualization of their vow as conditions in their daily lives. So there are two ways of living ordinary people's lives and bodhisattvas' lives. I think, strictly speaking, we live our lives on the basis of two, both. Some aspects of our lives are kind of ordinary people's lives, but on the other end, it is not right, because we always seeking for something more than ordinary lives. So, in a sense, some aspect of our lives are based on the bodhisattva's lives. The vows, in this case, with our vow, to consider deeply how to live in peace, in harmony, day to day with all living beings. This is kind of vow. Vow means the directions we should aim at under all circumstances, proceeding or going on toward that directions. Considering deeply how to live in peace, in harmony with all sentient beings. This is vows. Not only this life, but also life after life. And also I mentioned, under all circumstances, wherever you may be, or whenever you may be, we move, we proceed, continually toward that directions. Contemplating human lives in peace, in harmony with all sentient beings. This is bodhisattva vows. So, bodhisattva's lives are based on their vows. In their life, in living, and the actualization of their vow in their everyday living. So vow is not something abstract, or vow is not the metaphysical idea of human life, human living. It's actual life. Okay. So this is a bodhisattva's life. So we have a boss. Ordinary people's lives and also bodhisattva's lives. But usually we see very strongly the ordinary people's lives are filled with the desires, emotional, the physical, and created by the education, custom, heredities, and such and such. So we believe our lives are filled with lots of miserable delusions. And then we believe this is our natural life. But this is nothing but expression of human arrogance. So, okay, two of those work together actually and compound a state of our life, living as like a single piece of paper with two aspects, neither taking one side nor throwing the other. Which ways you want to choose really depends upon your refined human action now and here. For example, what do you think about the $100 bill? Is it of no value because of merely a piece of paper, or is it very valuable because of something more than a piece of paper? This is not the matter of talking, the idealistical talking about $100 bill, but a matter of your refined human action now and here, how to use it vividly in your daily living. Same applies to the mudra you do in your zazen. I always mention this mudra is symbol of universe, which is characterized by the unity of two, more than two beings, in peace, in harmony. So, what do you think? This is a two hands, merely two hands, or this is a symbol of universe? Universe itself. How this is it matter of idealistical talking about mudra, or is it something fact you have to deal with day to day as a defined action now and here? Defined action means your understanding must be deepened. You shouldn't understand very narrow way. So that's why I say your action, human action, must be refined. That is important. Okay. So how do you do it? This is a point. This is a key point. How do you accept this? Mudra, two hands. Mudra created by two hands. This is a merely form created by two hands, or this is a symbol of universe as it is. It's not a matter of discussion. It is something you have to accept it and do it. Then, how do you do it? That is your determination. But a determination coming from your idea, thinking. Overthinking, and then you can see clear understanding what the mudra is, what this mudra is. So you can understand this is a two hands, this is a form created by two hands called mudra. On the other hand, this is a exact mudra as it really is. So two sides. And then which way to go? Well, maybe mudra as it is a little better than this way. Idealistical talking about, idealistical determinations. So let's take this way. So if you take this way, a determination, you can realize how shaky your determination is. Because your determination is always no root. Based on no root, because always this is right, I have to do it. Then, if you continue ask, is it true? Continue ask yourself. Finally, your determination find no root of its own. So whatever kind of determinations are, nothing but changeable being constantly. But within this changeable, undependable determination, we have to make your determination secure. How? This depends on your action. Right now, that's it. Do you understand? Is that clear? So regarding $100 bills as only a piece of paper means that we take it for granted that it is natural for human beings to live up to their karmic life and delusions, only to leave the you and or to say human's arrogance.
What's the basis of the determination that you're talking about that you need to put into action?
Determination comes from the understanding, okay? Your understanding of your life, you and your life, your world, okay? And then analyzing and making arrangement of your understanding and analyzing your understanding, then you can get the determination.
So this is an intellectual determination?
You know, in a sense, through the words, through your understanding. Determination comes from your life based on the education, your circumstances, karma, and the emotions, and the past, the present, future, anyway. And then determination coming up. But a determination is, in a sense, it's very shaky, because whatever kind of determination you make, finally, what is the determination? You cannot depend. Determination becomes undependable, like a snow of a Mount Lucky. Very undependable. But nevertheless, undependable snow is important place for us to build up our life, so-called mountain climbers. So how do you make your life stable in the realm of undependable snow of the Mount Rocky? So this is how. this day-to-day life. So, undependable determination is not something wrong. It's important because this is only the world we live in. So, question is, how do you make undependable determination sure, okay, and stable in your everyday life? That's it. Is that clear?
So you're saying that's a question that we each have to ask ourselves?
Mm-hmm. So how? How is not the... Well, how is... first you should direct your body and mind toward a certain direction, okay? That's it. Okay. So that's why I said the arrogance. It is that if you believe, it is natural that human beings should live up to the our karmic life and delusion because this is our instinct. Okay. But this is really human arrogance because can't you believe your life exactly based on this human instinct? You believe that, but on the other end, there is something negative because you try to seek something more than that. What is it? So, maybe you believe that it is natural for you to live up to human delusion, human karmic life in the past, but on the other end, you believe that human life shouldn't be so. You think unconsciously or consciously, that's why, what is it? So we are always attached to one-sided or the other side very strongly, excessively. And also thinking of a $100 bill ever so much, you know, only to create something mysterious power. Around it enough to change your life much, much happier. It's nothing but the expression of human arrogance because that thinking makes you a kind of a money animal. So you just depend on the money because money is mysterious great powers beyond your thinking, because people respect you if you become rich. If you become poor, people don't respect you. This is fact. So you really respect the money, but on the other hand, we don't respect the money. You know, $100 bill is nothing but a piece of paper, no values. We say so. But this is also arrogance, human arrogance. It is very important that the $100 bill, which is nothing but a piece of paper, should be given living life to, in virtue of your refined action now and here. Concentrating on how to make it alive in your daily living. So $100 bill is here, a being which is alive right now, right here. It is not no room for you to discuss about it, okay? Because $100 bill is a being, just like you, as well as your being. How do you communicate with this? by your idealistical understanding or metaphysical understanding, it is important, but that understanding is very shakable, undependable. But undependable understanding is our important place. That's why, how do you build up your life stably or peacefully in the realm of undependable situation of our understanding? Whatever it is, very undependable. But this is the human samsaric world. So that's why in the virtue of your refined action now here, you have to deal with the $100 bill as it really is, to give life, to $100 bill as it is, that's it. Then it supports your life and supports your other human beings. And then you can give your, you can share your life with all human beings, broadly speaking. So finally, your life is very valuable. The same applies to a way of how to actualize the ordinary karmic life on the basis of the bodhisattva's vow, or how to manifest the bodhisattva lives in the ordinary people's life. Okay? In other words, whatever you think, whatever you understand about your life or others' life, all understanding is very undependable, always changing. But as best as you can, you should understand deeply as best as you can. That is your place, your abode you live in. That's it. Then question is, how do you give life to your understanding in your everyday life, helping your life and also others' life? This is our practice day to day. This is called living in vow, bodhisattvas dialect, always their daily living too, always. So, the bodhisattva's vow, or living in vow, means that bodhisattvas always aim at a certain direction in their lives, contemplating a way of peaceful living with all living beings, and trying to actualize this way, life after life, wherever or whenever they may be. So, bodhisattva has a direction to aim at. Not only to live, to live in order to live their lives in peace, in harmony with all sentient beings, life after life, or wherever they may be. Okay? So that means they use their lives not only for the sake of their own life, but also others' life, being or not being, visibly or invisibly. This is bodhisattva's vow. So that is bodhisattva directions. Direction is direction which you will not yet reach at. So direction is great image of human life, how to live with all sentient beings. But this is an image, but an image is not merely image, because image is important. Image is something giving a certain great suggestion to how to live. So if you have an image, all we can do is try to make it alive, day to day, how we should move, proceed toward that image. That is not a matter of discussion. Sometimes we have to discuss it, but sometimes we have to cut off the discussion as soon as possible and do it. That's it. So this is a Bodhisattva's direction. And also, Bodhisattva never expect anything from that direction, because they always proceed continually toward that under all circumstances, without any expectation. If you expect even slightly, you cannot move, you cannot direct your life toward that and go on. You cannot do it. So that's why always we have to see the direction, then move, just like a ship in the oceans. Ship must direct herself into San Francisco, okay, constantly, under all circumstances, storms, sunny days, which is undependable, completely undependable. The more you try to direct your ship towards San Francisco properly, continually, life after life, the more you can see lots of the obstacles, like storms and waves and sunny days and excitement and pensiveness and many stuff there, created by inwardly, created by the self inwardly and outwardly. So the more you try to move toward that direction without expectation at all, the more you are very difficult to keep your life straight. So very naturally, prayer, a sense of prayer, sense of vow comes into existence. Like the pure water coming from the ground, deep ground. So from this point, repentance is not apologize in the presence of your boss. Okay. But the repentance in Buddhism is the flow of water coming up from the ground without stopping at all. It's coming up. This is Bodhisattva vow, okay? This way means the Bodhisattva way is also based on the same as human action, but that of giving birth of Buddha Dhamma or eternal child. Okay? Eternal child means using your karmic life, and you try to make every possible effort to give birth of the child. But that is eternal child constantly. But there is some concern, some anxiety, because Bodhisattva don't know what kind of a child is coming. But all they have to do is to aim at to give birth of their eternal life, eternal child, using their own karmic life. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions, please dig up the world, human world, and turn it into golden world. Well, in this is the last sentence of Genjo Koan. You can read it. So constantly your life, you try to direct your life, karmic life, towards that eternal target. Eternal target means you should live. You should live with all sentient beings, life after life, and thinking constantly how to live in peace and harmony. This is difficult, but this is bodhisattva life. And not only the thinking, but also actualize this vow, this way of life in our daily life. Okay? So very naturally they try to give birth of eternal child. In other words, golden world. At the same time they have an easy feeling about what kind of child will be coming. This is their suffering. However, the frame of their real lives begins to burn, or their real activities come into being in the process of undergoing suffering, which emerges from their vow. In other words, right in the middle of process of being with all sentient beings, then they can find their lives worth living. Not from idealistical understanding or idealistical understanding of the world of a human being. In the process, right in the process of sharing your life with all sentient beings, then you can find your lives worth living. This is bodhisattva ways. That's what we have to understand deeply, and then try to see what the direction we should go. It is like a parents who undergo suffering because of their children's existence, and who feel their lives worth living in the process of being with their children. This is a parents. Same apply to our individual life. Direction means to allow your life to proceed in reality toward a day-to-day, instead of molding your life into an idealistical expectation from direction. For instance, I was always asked by some people that it is nonsense to do zazen quietly because there are many human beings who are starved to death in India, in Burma, wherever you may be. So why don't you save those people from their suffering right now? So naturally they criticize the practice of meditation and studying Buddhism, etc. That's beautiful, beautiful. But I don't think it is beautiful, because beautiful thought, beautiful idea, beautiful thinking, makes sometimes problem because too beautiful. Because real life consists of beautiful aspect and not beautiful aspect. Because there are many individuals who done. Now, there are many aspects of human life. Some who are starved to death, some who are not starved to death, some who enjoy their life, some who undergo suffering, some who anyway don't feel anything, some who don't care any aspect, any idea of life. Many kind of life comes up. And then if you see only some person who are starved to death, idealistically with your head, and then we should do it, means we try to mold our life into this beautiful idealistical thought and thinking and way of life. It is beautiful. But look at yourself. When I went back to Japan this time, you know, Japan, we have a beautiful train transportation. It's really beautiful train transportation. Just like an airplane in the United States. But sometimes trains are jammed by people. I realize from Kyushu to Tokyo, I got train. Then at that time, train was completely crowded by people. So we stood up, you know. And then I stood up in a special train, in a reserved seat of the train, okay? Reserved seat. But all reserved seats are booked up, the people are filled, okay? But we can stand up in alley. So I stood up there. And then the one or two vacant seats I found. But I couldn't sit down there, because it was already reserved, even though no one's there. So then the conductor came and told us, if you want to sit that vacant seat, please pay such and such amount of money. And then you can sit, but I cannot give any guarantee when this person who reserved come into this train. So no one tried to pay the money, you know. But unfortunately, I have a pass, you know, therefore I have foreign pass. The pass for, you know, foreigner to go any place for a certain period of time, okay, for a week, and you can go any place, okay, with free. And then reserve the seat also free. So I have this pass. So I show it to him. So he said, please sit down. Because I'm okay, you know. But simultaneously, I found an old woman stood up there. But I didn't give my seat to her. I quietly sat down there. And then at that time, who I am? Can I? I am always Bodhisattva life. I can always share my life with all sentient beings. How to live in peace? I don't do it right now. I always try to protect my life. I don't want to share. So in order to, at that time I realized my presence, I realized how much my realized pushed others' life away from me in order to keep my life peace. and how much I am egoistic, how much I am hurting others' life. I think I realize I cannot save my life. Not my life. To save my life is to save others. But I cannot save my life. That means I cannot save others' life either. Because I protect myself. So, it is beautiful to save those people who struggle to death, but pay attention to reality, how much you can save you. Because you have to save yourself not in order to satisfy your life, but because you have to share your life with all sentient beings. How much you can do day to day. How much we hurting others. That reflection is very important for us. So day to day, whatever you think, according to Buddhist precept, we shouldn't hurt others. We shouldn't hurt others. We shouldn't push anyone away from me. Always accepting others. Always accepting all things and live together. But actually, we are, our lives would be going reversed, perfectly. But if you can keep Buddha's precept perfectly, you have to die. You have to die. Because not kill, how much you can observe not killing. If you keep this, how do you live your life in the high expenses of others' life, trees' life, vegetables' life, animals' lives? How much? Can't you say, I don't sacrifice any beings. I observe Buddha's precept perfectly. Can't you say that? Even though you don't kill any animals, how much you kill insects, vegetables, grasses, in many ways, we do it. That's why it is actual everyday life is really undependable. This is right life we should depend on, or this is not right life we shouldn't depend on. We cannot say so. Totally, our life in reality is very shakable and dependable. But this is real reality we should live in. Then, how do you observe our precept, Buddha's precept in our everyday life? This is constantly, we have to do it. So, if you keep the Buddha's precept perfectly, your life no longer existent. But to live, the truth to live is just to live, if it is true. Animals, vegetables, all sentient beings are living just like that. The truth to live is just to live. If so, we have to, in the realm of undependable, very shakable realm of human life, we try to anyway share our lives with person around us, telling constantly just the truth to live is to live, just to live day to day, and extend it into all other peoples in the world, and also to trees, birds, all sentient beings. This is bodhisattva vows constantly. So that is a direction, okay? So one's life worth living should be found in one's refined action now, here, of proceeding day to day toward that direction without any expectation from it. This is the direction for bodhisattva's lives. The more you move continually toward that direction, the more you discover various difficulties created by our own lives inwardly or outwardly in many ways. It follows naturally that vow or prayer of trying to proceed safely toward the direction as possible come into existence. This is exactly same as taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. They naturally try to, anyway, express our weakness. Our weakness means mourn, a great mourn of disconsolate pain, irritation, uneasiness in the bottom of our life. The more you try to proceed toward that direction, bodhisattva's directions, the more you really discover the great mourn of human pain in the deep level. Then, this is kind of, then repentance coming up. And repentance is simultaneously to take refuge in the Buddha and teaching and the Dhamma, Sangha. So that is a reason why we have to make repentance. Do you have some questions? So as a conclusion, our life is nothing but ordinary karmic life, okay? Like a corn, Isan told to his disciples, how do you call that? He said, if I die, I will be reborn as a cow in the village. In 100 years, you will find the cows in the village with a name under the cow's arm, you know, saying, Isan, how do you call this cow? This is a merry cow? If you say it's wrong. Or if you, after discovering the name on the cow bodies, you say, this is not cow, this is a Isan. This answer is wrong. How do you call this cow? Same applied to now Dogen Zenji comment on this. Please let this cow on in the great expansive nature of the horse pasture and to guide this cow to move toward right directions. Even though they are going zigzag or they are going in a different direction they like, sometimes you have to guide to this cows to the Buddha's way, parting over against his head. You are a good boy. you can comment on this, on that story like this. So same apply to your life. Our life is nothing but ordinary human beings covered with karmic life. But this is a karmic life. This is a natural for us to fall, to give up to the this instinct life or karmic life. It is, in a sense, some true, but it's not true exactly. Because still, you can do something more than that for you, for others, for the trees, for the birds, for all sentient beings. So, if you see this virtuous nature of your life, I think this is your great target you have to aim at. And then, at that time, you have to move toward that direction using your body and how to express your karmic life in the realm of bodhisattva lives. Okay? So very naturally, you can share your life with all sentient beings. Okay? And then from this, repentance coming up. Okay. Any other questions? If you don't, I want to go forward. Okay.
You're saying the idea of repentance is the idea of putting yourself totally into your life.
Idea. This is next. I have to talk about the how to make repentance. Okay, the concrete in a concrete way. But before that, I mentioned the reason why we have to make repentance. Because usually repentance is regarded as apology. Okay, toward a certain certain person or a certain divinity, okay, for your mistake, for your karmic life, saying what karmic life is not right, and the bodhisattva life is right. So we try to throw away and try to get another things, always juggling, always.
There's been a lot of words. Can one say the following? First, that you can't ever worry about being a bodhisattva. You cannot imagine yourself to be a bodhisattva, first thing. Second thing, since you might have that sense of direction, there's only here and now, and there's opportunity here and now that we have taken or we have missed.
Yeah,
and
it's easy.
Sometimes one finds some satisfaction in having taken an opportunity to share one's life here and now, but very often it's just a fact. Every one of us experiences this, I know. We see, I've missed the opportunity, it's gone.
Yeah.
And then comes repentance.
Yes. So, I think I have to explain, okay? Let me go further, alright? There are three kinds of repentance. Then probably you could understand. One is repentance in thusness means your whole body and mind should stand straightly in the realm of whole universe anyway. Okay, not only your small world. Okay, How do you stand up in the whole universe? I think there must be practice. Always throwing away your egoistic understanding and opening yourself and understanding others, like accepting and digesting and etc. Constantly you have to practice. Okay, so that is standing, anyway, standing straightly in the realm of whole universe. And then something coming up, then your life can be discovered with all other beings. So that is a repentance. Where should the repentance stand up? In your world? No. In the realm of whole universe first. Okay? For example, when you soak your body and mind in the bathtub, okay? In the winter time, first of all, you have to use your consciousness. So consciousness limits your life. Consciousness never lets you go, extend into every inch of the universe. So if you use your consciousness immediately, your life is limited. Okay? But this is our life. So we have to use our consciousness in order to soak your body in the bathtub. Okay? With wholeheartedness, and then you soak, actually you should soak in your bathtub in action. And then there is total unity of your bathtub and warm water and your body. Okay? This is not idealistic. This is a something. This is a something in motion. In motion in the process of jumping or being there. Okay? Constant. Then after being one with the unity of the bathtub and you, and then you say, ah, that is your experience, very basic beginning experience, very beginning of your experience. Do you understand? From where? Experience of, very beginning of experience, so-called ah. It comes from unity of the bathtub and you, including your emotion and all the 100,000 million pores. All bodies, all sentient beings work together simultaneously. Then unity in action comes into existence. But unfortunately, you don't know it. But in the process of action, in refinedness, then you can be there, exactly. Because first beginning of the so-called experience, primary experience, comes from that total unity, that's it. But we don't pay attention to that total unity because it is exactly one, it is too close to know. That's why we missed it. And then we are interested in just the world created after wow, that's it. And then we start immediately, consciousness come back again and to analyze what kind of world it is. How is your body is, well, like? How is your physical condition is like? We are often, discussing and analyzing, making adjustment of a situation and analyzing, then we say, I understand water and bathtub, how wonderful it is. This is idealistical world. That's it. In other words, verbal world, thinking world, that's it. Thinking coming from the language, words. Without words, you cannot think it. So thinking is simultaneously creating word, being in the word. Okay? So it's a very want to say, very quick, different words come up. But total unity of the Vastava and your body is no longer discovered by your consciousness. But through the consciousness, you have to take action in being with Vastava. In action, total action, through the total action, that's it. If you do it, you cannot know it. Then you miss it. After missing, you are in. There is only one thing, is world created after your experience, beginning of your experience. That is samsaric world, on and on going. Okay. So that's why we have to come back anyway, come back to this beginning of the completely primary state of the unity between you and universe, you and Basta. Okay? This is our practice, constantly. Why we have to say so? Because we cannot analyze what is a Basta before you jump into. Because you are completely involved in idealistical discussion, analysis of Bastav's existence and your life too. So finally, no end. Discussion is going no end. Do you understand? Then you are always after understanding, then I want to jump into it. This is also true, but I think through that, this understanding, you never get real first unity between Bastav and you in action. No. Always there is separation there. Okay? So, this is a repentance and thusness first. Anyway, jump in. Jump in means don't jump blindly. Okay? I don't mean this. Okay? That's why where you have to jump into, you have to jump into the Bastav and in the realm of undependable, your understanding, your thoughts, your reality, your body and life, body and mind, all things. You have to jump into. That's why you cannot jump into it blindly. Okay? Second, repentance in undefiledness. That's why undefiledness means function of real deep understanding of human life, the which repentance originates from. Always you have to stand up in the realm of whole universe constantly. Okay? In other words, in the primary state of the unity, total unity in action between, okay, you and others, you and trees. Okay? Come back. You have to come back. Means how to come back? You should open. You constantly, always open. Okay? So, and then how do you do it? So that is completely, you have to take care of human action as refined. Refined. Defined means undefiled. Completely undefiled. Undefiled means your action is creating your action itself, and also that pure action is the place where frame of action, what you have understood, is melted away. Okay? Any kind of frames, levels, and ideas are melted away into this realm of whole universe. That is total action. Means when you do gassho, gassho is in action as a refined. choosing your consciousness and jump into this. Then this is undefiled consciousness. Okay, undefiled repentance. The third, repentance in the presence of Buddha. This is very concrete. Okay, why we have to repent in the presence of Buddha? There are three points. Okay, one is repentance in great karuna. Means the repentance you should make in the realm of a mourn, great mourn of the human pain in the depth of life. Because the more you try to move toward the directions, you discover, the more you discover lots of difficulties created by you and by others, by circumstances, visibly, invisibly. So you have to adjusting, you have to adjust to the direct your board into right directions. Constantly, you have to adjust it constantly. That's really difficult. So very naturally, you cannot do by your effort only. So you need a lot of help. So very naturally, in order to stand up in the realm of universe, by what your life and all other lives are supported, we try to pray to that. Or we try to move toward that direction. So that is compassion, Buddha's compassion. So, for instance, if you repent in order to be free from your samsaric life, okay, and to reach the Buddha way, Bodhisattva way of life, at that time, your repentance is made for what? For you. For you means for your desire. So repentance is made for your desire. In other words, you repent to your desire. To satisfy your desire. That's it. So, obviously, for instance, Zazen, I would like to be free from myself, you know, I would like to attain enlightenment, that's why I want to do Zazen. That is a desire of my desire, of the everyone's, okay? So, if you do Zazen, Zazen, the inaction is not undefiled because you try to satisfy your own desire. For this purpose, you do Zazen. Zazen never be undefiled. So that is a one point. So, so that's why your desire is your desire, but if you have a desire, next you have to put it aside, your desire. And then you should take, and if you put it aside for your desire, because you have to share your life with all sentient beings, so you cannot stay confined your life into small your own desires. You should share your desire with all sentient beings. So for this, you should put aside your desire first. Means open. You should open yourself. And then, if you open your life, then that opening your life may allow you to be in the realm of whole universe. Natural. That is a unity. Very beginning of the unity of between you and others' life. So that is a first point. Okay. Second point is that you must accept this a great mourn of human pain in the bottom of human life, so called, which turned it into human compassion. You share it with all sentient beings. If you understand very deep mourn, M-O-A-N, of pain in the deep depths of human life, that pain, mourn, turn into compassion. Because you understand everyone's. Understand it, which everyone has. So you naturally give deep sympathy to everyone. Not only human beings, trees, birds, pebbles, all sentient beings. So that is our practice to it. So very naturally, you are person who practice repentance, this repentance. So first, you are important. So you must be a person who accept this great day mourn of human pain in the depth of human life and believe it and stand up straight away there. At that time, you are ready to accept whole universe, other's life. Okay, this is second point. Third point, there is a place where the great mourn of the human pains in the depths of life called Buddhist compassion. And the person who accepts this and believes in it totally work together. That is a what? There is a place where both work together. That is a ritual. That is a place, time and space you can face now. Time and space can be formed as a ritual, spiritual ritual, religious ritual. That ritual is a form, so-called ceremony of repentance, but ceremony of repentance is ritual as a form. Form is form. But the question is, how do you make form alive for the sake of benefiting your life and others' life? That really depends on your attitude and actions right now, right here. That's it. I mentioned same apply to the $100 bills. How do you deal with this $100 bills? Do you take this $100 bill as a piece of paper? If so, burn it. Burn it away. Or please give it to me before you burn it. So if you take it as a $100 bill as it is, I think you can use it. It is not discussed. You should use it. Then value, idea of the value of $100 bills is something alive in your everyday life. Gold supporting your life. Option. This is a ritual. Okay. So ritual is what? Ritual is your own defined human action. Now and here. This is a turning point. Which way you go? Bodhisattva way or ordinary people's life? Turning point is pointless point. It's very delicate because it's actions. Because it's acting in motion, acting in motion, constantly acting. That's it. So that is a turning point. Which way to go? Please, go. Go means you have to take a one step. That's it. Not thinking over there, the other side. Of course, the other side is important, but this is very undependable idealistic world we have understood. But this is a unique way where we live in. That's why, how do you use this undependable world as very secure, dependable world? That is really depends on your defined human action right now, right here. Okay. Is that clear? That is called repentance in the presence of Buddha. So how do you do this? Just do a show and I take refuge in the Buddha. Or we can kashak shazo shuaku, I make my karmic life, twisted karmas, you know, from the past life itself. Just repent. That is action. Then, that is that action, and repentance in action, in motion, from moment to moment, day to day, is carrying life after life, is to put you right in the middle of flow of energy of the universe. That is called unity of you and the whole universe. That makes you pure, defined, or free. But real unity is not understandable. But you have to be there in action. Actual being, day to day alive. That's it. This is the meaning of repentance. So I don't know how long I should repent. If you become bodhisattvas, I have to repent. If I become an ordinary person, I have to repent. If I reach the Buddha's way, I have to repent constantly. Because the more I close near to the Buddha way or bodhisattva way, I really discover the lots of difficulties around me, around all sentient beings, created by the self and others, circumstances visibly, invisibly, inwardly and outwardly. Constantly I have to adjust my ship, directing toward right directions, called bodhisattva way. That's all I have to do. Then you can help, really, others. You can benefit your life, you can benefit others. Okay? Right, question?
Save yourself,
and
you can save all sentient beings.
Well, you can say either. I can save, or I cannot save. You cannot say either, both. You cannot say both. Now you can say both. I can save, I cannot save. Do you? Can't you attach to the only one side? I cannot save. That is your arrogance, human arrogance. Because I am human beings, how can I save all sentient beings? It's ridiculous. This is human arrogance, that by which we are always creating problems. Do you understand? But actually, in a deep level, we don't believe, we don't accept human beings like that exactly. There is some place, some part of our human life, always crying, talking, speaking of the how to live in peace day to day, even in my life, only in my life, how to take care of my life with all sentient beings. This is always, we see it, we can hear the cry, don't you think so? So you can say either. You cannot say either, I can save or I cannot save either. So finally, you don't know who you are. So if you don't know who you are, keep your mouth shut, lips start slowly, quietly, step by step, that's it. Moving toward Bodhisattva's way, Buddha's ancestors' measures. So that's all we can do.
Sitting on the train while the old lady was standing, in terms of the three different kinds of repentance that you mentioned, if that is an example of one or more of the three kinds, could you explain how it is?
Three kinds of repentance.
Yeah.
Last one.
Using three kinds of repentance, using the example of you keeping your seat in the train instead of getting up to give your seat to this old lady. Do you understand? Is your action in the train an example of one or more of those two kinds of intent?
Well, I think last, that repentance correspond to the last repentance in the great mourn of human pain in the depths of human life. The more you look at your life, I think you can see the great mourn, crying, deep crying. The more you try to reach, the more you can see. You can see your life prevent, disturbing your life from reaching to the Buddha's way. So very naturally you can see how egoistic, how we hurt ourselves and others. The only presence, only being here, is really something. Don't you? Do you understand? Well, my presence is, you say Karagiri is Abbot of Zen Center, and you say Karagiri is wonderful, but I don't think Karagiri is wonderful because I realize how much I interrupt your life. How much I hurt in your life, how much my only presence here disturb your life, even though I talking of Buddha's teaching, the not talking of Buddha's teaching makes you confused and you hate the Buddha's teaching. How much I can contact with you deeply, I cannot do it. But I have to do it. So my presence is wonderful, but I don't think wonderful because I always try to take care of my life in the great expenses of your life. Do you think so? So from this point, naturally I have to repent. Please help. And I don't know how much I should cry to the Buddha, please help. How much, I don't know how much the Buddha helps me. Because Buddha doesn't know how much. But there is a great chance for me to open is just to pray to the Buddha, just to open myself and do it, move toward that Buddha's way. That's it. That's only unique opportunity for me to get into. So very naturally, every day I have to repent. It's not necessary in the Zen, but also everyday life. I mentioned in that the trains, in the trains, how egoistic we are. When I was in San Francisco, I preached to a Japanese congregation when we had a funeral service. And one person criticized me comparing with Tsukiroshi's preach. And this person said to me that my preach was kind of forcing the people to understand the Buddha's teachings. It was very aggressive. Okay, but she said Tsukiroshi's preach was not like this, but reflecting upon himself. That's it. I don't know which is good preach or which is bad preach. But at that time, by my preach, all audience were very moved. Interrupting others. So I can say my preach is best. So very naturally through my preach, I have to repent, apologize in the presence of Buddha. Please help me. That's it. But all I have to do is, well, I just repent. Because there is no guarantee how much I can be free from my that aggressive preach. You know, you should understand it. Well, in a deep sense, I try to. Make you understand the Buddha's teaching as best as I can. So using lots of words. That's why finally my preach is lots of word. But point is very simple. No word. My preach always reached that point. No word. But before I reach to that, I have to use a word. Because you don't understand it. Or everyone want to be quiet, but everyone always making a noise. That's why finally I should say, be quiet. And then you can understand, oh, be quiet. But if you don't, if I don't explain it, or you are constantly making noise, this is a human world. Okay. Another question.
Part of the Bodhisattva way. That pretty separateness from the Buddha and separateness from the Bodhisattva way.
Mm-hmm. Bodhisattva way?
Are we separate from the Bodhisattva way if this is a target that we're reaching for?
Mm-hmm. So you know the Bodhisattva way?
No.
I think simply speaking, Bodhisattva way is to keep their life, their own life, healthy and peaceful, okay? And share their life with all beings, okay? Being with them, day to day, in peace, in harmony. That is the Bodhisattva way. But let's go back to our own life. Can't you do it? For instance, if you see some person you don't like, can't you share? You can try, but some corner, there are certain corner of your consciousness always hate some person. You don't love totally. You can see the more you love that particular person, the more you can see another side you don't love. So it's pretty hard. So very naturally, how to proceed toward the directions of Bodhisattva lives, day to day, That is not idealistic discussion or understanding. Thinking of a beautiful world separate from you. You have to reflect, you have to see yourself day to day, right now. Do you understand? And then you try, for instance, if I face some person I don't like, well, immediately I hesitate. I can't open. But my mind says, let's open. So if I try to open, I say, it's pretend. You are, your life is pretending. But no other way. So constantly pretending to open myself and approach, have access to that way. The more we try, the more I can see clear image of pretending. And so finally I cry. Do you understand? So finally crying, and finally I open my life. Belief. So I don't know how much we should cry. Thousands, millions cries. And then you can open one hitting, totally hitting to the target. So go open yourself totally. It's due to having a hundred thousand mishearing. That's it. Not a hundred thousand, millions.